broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for September 21st in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Now, we talked last hour in great detail about God. I was going to be a big talk show host one day. Some guy told me that had the ability to make that happen, and he said, but you got to take God out of your show, Sam. Quit talking about God so much, we'll make you a rock star. And I simply said years ago, if God's out, I'm out. So there you go. My influence isn't near as big as it maybe could be, but you know what? I sleep at night, right? Anyway, bottom line is we talked about the troubles with the hurricane. We talked about the troubles in Mexico, and our prayers are with all those folks. But we talked about Roy Moore saying, quote, shootings happen because we've taken God out of everything. And I say that I'm not ready to say there's a direct cause and effect that, oh, because someone got shot, that they're not obeying God. It's not that finite, right? Our detractors would try to make it that way. But what we're generally saying is when we obey God's laws, we're blessed. And when we don't, there's consequences. And all I know is I want to be the guy that puts forward the clarion call to believe in Christ. And I want to be the guy that stands forth and says we need to obey God's laws. He promises us, biblically speaking, that if we obey him, and we repent and we change, he will heal our land. And I want to reject this direct cause and effect. I'm not saying the guy that got shot is disobeying God more than anybody else. And I'm not saying that the people in, you know, Texas or Florida or the Virgin Islands or Puerto Rico or, you know, Mexico, that they're worse than anybody else. But I am going to say that when we turn our backs on God, bad things happen. And as Kirk Crosby wisely said last hour, there are no atheists in foxholes. Now, some might say, yes, there is. I was one of them. But the point isn't individually. The point is general to say that when bad things happen, it humbles the people. When consequences happen, it turns people to God. And I think that's God's intention a lot of times when these things happen. I would never hope for bad things to happen for anybody. But when they do, I do take delight in that people are turning to God, and the people of Puerto Rico are asking us to pray for them. And I'm praying for the people in Puerto Rico. I'm praying for the people in Mexico. I'm praying for the people in Florida. I'm praying for the people in Texas. And I'm hoping we do turn to our God. And I'm not here to break down the keys to theology. I want to unite people, not divide. Well, anyway, we stood up and talked about prayers and God and people looking for direction. And you know what? I'm not here to criticize anybody. I am here to provide direction and guidance and encouragement and hope. That's what Liberty Roundtable is designed for. Anyway, Ken from Utah was listening. He wants to chime in and add to the mix. Ken?
Good morning. How are you, Sam?
Excellent, my friend. How are you?
Good. Amen to everything you've been saying. I just find it so fascinating. I believe in a God of miracles, and it is no surprise to me that this morning I get a message that my dear best friend that I was on a mission with in the land of Japan back in 78 to 80, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ out there, has sent me a message. His wife is dying of cancer. They got bad news here recently that one in five chance that she had on this last chance treatment that might save her did not work, and she's not doing well. And we're having a missionary reunion this coming week, and it's like, I may or may not be there, he said, and I'm having a real hard time in this miracle thing. I don't get it. And he says, I believe more in Richard Dawkins, or Hawkins, I should say. Is that his name? I'm trying to remember. Richard Dawkins of BBC Beautiful Minds, and Bill Nye, the science guy, who is clearly an atheist. He says, I'm not an atheist, but I have a hard time believing in those who believe in God, the religious zealots, than I do in, the Bill Nye type people. So I'm reaching out to your world, Sam, and saying, hey, how do you talk to people? I'm a big believer in miracles. I've seen so many miracles. I'd love
Amen.
To share with
no question.
Here.
I would simply say to this guy one thing, and I, you know, I don't know everything, but I would say that this universally works. I would turn to the scriptures of God, in other words, God's words to us, and read them. And I would pray to God and beg for, don't ask why, but ask, what would you have me do? What would you want me to learn? What would, in other words, what can I take away from this, God, rather than criticizing or questioning what's happening? And I believe if you pray and read and pray and read, a spirit of peace will come to you. That is a promise. If you do it long enough with a sincere heart, with real intent. And I would basically encourage him to do those things. And I would say, you know what? I don't know if you want to come to this reunion, but I would love to see you and give you a hug and spend some time with you. I believe that friendships can provide peace. So I would try to spend some time with him and provide that friendship. And then I would encourage him to pray and read till he feels different. And I don't care what religion he is. I would advocate for the Christian beliefs. That's just me. But all I'm telling you is that's what I would encourage him to do. And if he'll do those things, I believe that some comfort will come.
You know, I don't disagree with you at all. And at the same time, there are so many people like my friend who are really not at that place where they can reach to that level. As basic and fundamental as it is, they're not there. So they're not really sure how to get to that spot. Can I just share a story?
Yeah, you got to hurry, though. I have a guest.
Oh, my apologies.
Go ahead.
One thing that happened where I woke up in my life about miracles was one day I was late to get up to Salt Lake City, near where I live. And it was going to take 40 minutes to get there, and it was 20 minutes till I was still in my pajamas. I'm running around my office. And I get this impression, call Mark. And I put it off. I think I'll call him tonight. I get the impression again, call Mark. And I thought, well, I'll call him on the way up to Salt Lake. Get the impression again, call Mark. And I thought, okay, I'm dumb, but I ain't stupid. I need to call Mark. So I called Mark right now. And boom, he was about to commit suicide. I said, Mark, hold on. I rolled down to his house as fast as I could, poured him into my car, took him to the hospital, and we spent the rest of the day there. It wasn't until I was explaining to a friend later what had happened. He said, how did you know? How did you guys get connected? And I said, it was because of this thing that had happened. I'd got this impression. Had he not asked that question, I wouldn't have even remembered. It was so subtle, God's miracle in my life. But in that moment, I realized how powerful God is. If he can reach out to someone like me in behalf of another son, that, wow, this is a great God.
Amen to that. And I would say this too, with regards to your friends that may not even believe that they could read or pray, I would just simply approach it to them scientifically and say, I want you to conduct an experiment. Okay. And the experiment is, I want you to ask God, you know, you hope that God's there, don't you? Whether you believe he is or not, or whether you're not sure or not, but you hope he is, don't you?
Yeah.
And I would focus on that hope and say, are you willing to conduct this experiment? I want you to read the scriptures for 30 minutes, and I want you to pray for 20, you know, whatever the time frame is, I don't know. And I want to know if your day goes better if you do these two things in the morning. Sincerely, with real intent, conduct this experiment. Your heart's got to be in it with hope, though. I'm not telling you believe in it, or I'm not, you know, I'm just telling you got to hope that it makes a difference, and then you've got to do this. Will you conduct this experiment for me? And you can document the scientific details however you choose, but I want to know if it makes a difference. And if you generally tell me when you're going to be doing it, I will do the same thing with you. And
yeah,
I wonder if the synergism of our effects will make a difference. And all I'm telling you is I would approach it like that. And even if he's willing to try an experiment, that's all it takes. All right. Anything else, Ken?
Just to say, God is real. That moment I just shared, it happened 20 plus years ago, changed my life. And when we reach out and pray for others and the opportunity to act in God's name, I've seen miracles in behalf of others. And this is one right now that we're talking about. I'm sure there's people listening out there. God bless you, Sam.
Amen. Thank you for your time, sir.
Great.
All right. There he goes. Ken doing a great job. Heather Scott, Idaho State Rep, our guest. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Uh-oh. Are you there, Heather? I'm going to have to try to get
yes,
Heather.
Oh, there we go. I am here.
Excellent. No problem.
I was just listening, and yes, God is real, and he is in total control of everything.
Amen to
Thank
that.
God.
Now, by the way, I'm a Mormon, I don't know what religion you are, but you're basically pointing to God too. And what I think is important for people to understand is you're not a Mormon. And we agree on these ideas that God's at the helm, not government, right?
Absolutely. That's where our rights come from, God alone.
And I bring that up because I want to focus on what we're united on. It doesn't matter if we have different theological details to our beliefs or whatever else. We need to turn to God. He tells us, biblically speaking, that if we repent and do what he asks, he will heal our land. What does heal our land mean? That's an interesting topic. We'll quickly let Heather respond to that. Then we'll move to the topic at hand. Donald wants to drain the swamp of the nation. I don't think he's doing very well, but it's a deep swamp, that's for sure. But Heather and the rest of us want to drain the swamp in Idaho, too. We'll talk about that on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Getting advice from a teenager is a little unusual, but please listen to me. If you find yourself pregnant and you're scared, I've got some advice because I've been there. My boyfriend wasn't ready to be a father, and frankly, he wasn't all that interested after I told him I was pregnant. My friends told me I should keep the baby because it would be fun. Well, having a baby is about the baby. It's not about whether I have fun. Some people told me my parents would help take care of the baby, but my baby still wouldn't have both a mom and a dad of her own. And that's really important to me. After putting my feelings aside, I made the best decision I could for my baby. Not because I felt it was easy, but because I felt it was right.
Adoption. It's about love.
I didn't give my baby up. I gave her more.
A message from LDS Family Services.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Idaho State Rep. Heather Scott, our guest, riding shotgun on the broadcast today. We're talking about God will heal our land if we turn to him, and we need to turn to God, not government. That was the genius of America that we should all agree on, Heather.
Yes, it is. That's where we've steered wrong, I think.
Where do we go from here if we're going to drain the swamp? We certainly need God's help, that's for sure.
That's the only way we're going to do it. God will give you the courage you need to stand. He'll stand with you when you're the only one standing. We need him in our government. And I think when we start turning our laws back to the way he designed it, things are going to change in our country and our state.
There you go. Draining the Idaho swamp is different from draining the swamp in the nation's capital. Everybody agrees in the nation's capital that, you know what, they're all corrupt up there with rare exception. So it's not hard to get people aboard saying we got to drain the swamp. The problem when you get towards the state and or, you know, state or county or city government is you start to get people you know quite well. You start to say, well, wait a minute, why drain the swamp? This guy's my cousin. This guy's my neighbor, this guy's my uncle, or I know this guy through this person or whatever, and you've had interactions with these people, and it's hard for a lot of people even to believe that it's as insidious as it really is, Heather.
Well, especially in Idaho, because a lot of the mentality is like, well, it's all Republicans, so it's good, it's conservative, right? And we know different, those of us liberty legislators from Idaho, we know it's much different here than were perceived by the outside. You know, when Trump was elected, there were a lot of, I think a lot of people spoke up at a national level, but I think at the state and local levels, a lot of the old guard just slipped right through, and they were part of the problem, and they did not get drained with the executive branch. Everyone's focused on the president, and we're kind of stuck with some of that establishment, leftover old guard, and if we really want to see change, we need to use this momentum from Trump and continue to push back at the local levels.
And I completely agree. I think oftentimes, too, you know what? You might know somebody at the start, and when they get into office, they're a great person. But you know what? The swamp seems to, you know, use its tentacles on everybody. And at first, you know, I'll give you an example. I was never an Orrin Hatch fan. But the Orrin Hatch, when he got elected, and the Orrin Hatch now are completely different people.
You know, what happens, Sam, is as soon as you're elected, everyone starts treating you different. Everybody wants to be your friend. And the establishment, they definitely want you to fall in line. And if you don't, if you do, you're rewarded by being put on committees, by getting asked to do special assignments. But if you don't fall in line, you start to get ostracized. And they try to, you know, kind of marginalize you a bit and kind of like, oh yeah, she's just a little different, and until you fall in line, almost like a clique in a high school.
And if you're not willing to fall in line, they'll give you a time period in which you need to toe the line. If they'll kind of say you're a little bit weird because you're not toeing the line, but they won't be too hardcore until they know that you're not going to take the bait and toe the line, and then the gloves come off, right?
The gloves have come off on me and many Liberty legislators. You know, we started 3 years ago. Probably many of your listeners know Representative Ronald Nate. He is a really strong LDS man. He and I have led the Liberty Charge in this state starting 3 years ago. We were the only two legislators speaking out on the House floor, reading the Constitution, saying this is a violation of our Constitution, speaking up to some of the nonsense. And last year, we got a new batch, and we did pick up some new Liberty folks, and we added five more. And those five stood up and spoke up. And I think they've noticed all of us are being attacked right now, viciously attacked, and by flat-out lies. And it's constant. It's literally a constant struggle. So they're not... It's really frustrating because you just want to do your job and you just want to stand up for the people, and they want to control your message and suppress you, and they want to keep the people in the dark is what they want.
So the swamp at first appearance looks like, hey, it's a bunch of good guys. It's the Republicans. Thank heavens they're in charge. They're doing a good job. It's great. But then that veneer starts to fall off when you're either part of it and or you start to dig, huh?
Well, absolutely. And I think the problem is a lot of these people are really nice people, but they just realize there's a system here that will benefit them. And they can, many of them are lining their pockets. It's just a system that can benefit them and give them special rights and perks and stuff if they just kind of keep the big secret going. And anyone that wants to reveal that secret to the public, because where's all the power? It's in the people. And so good legislators that realize this try to empower the citizens. They try to get this information to the citizens so they can wake up and do their part to stop it. And that's where it runs into that a problem.
How many of these people, in other words, what you're saying is you've got to make a decision if you're going to go along to get along or if you're going to stand up and try to be transparent. And that's kind of the discussion. The swamp looks good from the outside. Hey, it looks like those guys are doing well. Everybody likes them there. At first appearances, it looks great. But when the veneer starts to scratch off, it's not a pretty picture. But you've got to kind of make a decision to go along, to get along, be part of the insiders, or to reject that and be transparent. And if you reject it and be transparent, at some point the gloves comes off and they'll attack you. However, how many of those people go along to get along and know full well that they're involved in a cabal versus how many people believe that they're doing good. In other words, they don't pitch it like, hey, get involved in our secret conspiracy to line our pockets and benefit us against everybody else or to keep a good old boy network going. They don't really lay that out to you. At some point, that's discovered along the path. But what they really do is they lay it out saying, listen, we're doing the best we can for the people. Heather, it's kind of like the velvet hammer. Heather, you're an incredible rock star. You're doing good. We love you. Look, I know this might not seem like it's the best, but when you really get more information, this is really the best. You're new and you don't really know. And in other words, they pitch it as if you're doing your patriotic duty, don't they, at first?
Well, yeah, they do. And what the problem is, the people that get sucked into the swamp, I call it the gravy train party. And they may start to think this is the only way they can get ahead. And it is for them the only way to get ahead individually, you know, and many of them want to climb this political ladder, whatever that looks like. But they're not doing it for the right reasons. And the thing is once you start compromising, we all know sin is a slippery road. It's just that one look. It starts with the one look, and where it leads, you know, that's where they get sucked in. And once they've compromised so much, there's no going back. I mean, it's really hard to go back because you're in over your head.
And then they start to use that against you, and it's almost like you believe you're doing your patriotic duty at first until enough compromises are made. Then you realize it's not what you thought, and then they start to come out even more boldly against you, like, you know what? If you ever try to be opposition now, even though you've made some mistakes, they'll kind of act like, what do you think, you are better than us? You know you've got these compromises that we can hold against you, and then pretty soon it becomes more and more and more in your face and more blatant and more control is exerted. And I think that individuals in the legislature will start to even acknowledge that in the most private of settings, won't they?
You got it. And I'll tell you what, Sam, early on, and by the grace of God, I did not fall for some of these tactics. And I know it was God with me looking out for me, but I was called to the leadership's office and asked to sign a piece of paper. Basically saying I assaulted someone that I didn't assault. And they wanted me to just make a problem go away is what they were telling me. But what they were trying to do is entrap me. They just said, well, you know, this will make this go away. If you don't do this, we may have to do this. They subtly threaten you to get what they want done.
And that's the velvet hammer. But while they're trying to get you to sign, you're the rock star, though. It's just that you need to kind of help them. You need to make friends and work together here, right?
That's all you got to do. You just got to compromise a little bit, and it'll all be okay. You just need to not tell the citizens that there were all these other options, but we chose to do it this way. I mean, I think that's the big fallacy, is most people think they elect someone, they send them to their state office to make decisions for them. And basically the decisions are not made for the people in most parts.
All right, we're talking about How the Swamps Run with Heather Scott, representative from Idaho, in seconds on your radio.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Some people may call it hypocrisy, with Hillary Clinton saying in an interview she still might want to challenge the legitimacy of the 2016 presidential election. Others would say what she's doing is just the same as many in the GOP are doing, criticizing what Hillary did while running and while she was Secretary of State. This is exactly what she criticized President Trump for during the campaign, though, when he stated he would have to wait and see the outcome before conceding the election. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi finding herself in an unusual and unenviable position at a press conference in San Francisco. It was disrupted and shut down when some illegals she had been defending were shouting. They surrounded the podium, waved posters, and they shouted, "Liar, liar!" The crowd was angry over Pelosi and Chuck Schumer agreeing to work with President Trump on an immigration deal to protect the Dreamers. The demonstrators were demanding that no one in the country illegally ever be deported again, ever. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
The county sheriff is the first line of defense in preserving the constitutional rights of all citizens. To help your sheriff keep his oath of office, join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Who taught you skip stones?
My dad.
Family. Isn't it about time?
He must be good.
Yeah, my mom taught him.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Heather Scott, our guest. We're talking about draining the Idaho swamp. Heather Scott's a state representative for the beautiful state of Idaho. We're talking about what the swamp looked like. On the surface, it looks great. Whoa, when you get in, it's a different story, ladies and gentlemen. How is it run? That's what we're talking about now. There's a tax on liberty legislators, big time. But so they brought you in. They said you've got to just kind of, for the overall good, you got to kind of compromise yourself and pretend something happened that didn't happen. But overall, don't worry, it'll be for your good. But the truth is, they would have used that against you forever.
Absolutely. Yep, that's how they control you.
All right, what do we do about this, though? Because, you know, again, when it's someone's neighbors and friends and people they know or their cousin or whatever else, it's very hard to stand up. A lot of times it just becomes, I mean, it's tough at Thanksgiving dinner. It's tough at Christmas. It's tough everywhere you go. Pretty soon people look at you and go, you're a nut too. And it's kind of hard for the citizen to get involved and stand up and be involved at all. They're just like, you know what? I don't want any part of this thing.
Well, and I will say something else too. The LDS Church is a strong knit community, and they elect men of good character and put them in positions. And a lot of those same men get elected to the legislature. And you cannot assume because the church has put them in a position that they're always going to be that same person when they get into politics. And that's something I see is, they're in good standing with the church, but when you really look at the what they're doing and the decisions they're making, they are not looking out for the citizens. And that is their job, is to represent the citizens.
You know, we're supposed to look for good, honest, wise servants of the republic, or good, honest, wise statesmen. Sometimes somebody might start out good. They might start out honest. What happens over time is they become less good. Their honesty starts to chip away as they make compromises, but they're not wise. And I bring that up because what they do in an effort to get along, go along, step that ladder and or save face and or whatever, then things start to kind of happen. And a lot of good people have been taken down by the political swamp. That's for sure.
Well, and I'll give you a very easy example of something your listeners can do. You have to pay attention to the people that are representing you. There are many tools out there to look at their voting records that are very simplified. And One example that I use a lot is most of Idaho State would be against same-sex marriage. It is in our Constitution. It is against, we're not supposed to recognize any form of marriage except that between a man and a woman. 2 years ago and last year again, we passed a bill that recognized it on certain instances. That's in direct violation to our Constitution. In my opinion, any legislator that voted for that bill should be looked at hard by the citizens and say, is this really the best person to represent us? Is this where we stand? That's something simple that is really easy to follow. And just some simple bills that, you know, you'd be surprised what all Idaho's doing because you think they're just conservative, and they're not. Not my kind of conservative, anyway.
Well, and they might be conservative. What they do, too, is they set the matrix. In other words, they define a left and a right, and the left is off the charts, communist in its extreme, but they say, listen, we're more moderate, we're more center than that way left. And then they do the same thing with the right, and I guess on their limited scale, my scale might be 1 to 100, for example. They might have a scale of 1 through 3. 2 being the center and your left or right, but they're very narrow in their scope. And so the conservatives, I guess, compared to the liberals, are a little bit more conservative by rhetoric or by a platform or by whatever they generally say they subscribe to. But in the end of the day, they're not near as conservative. Their conservative viewpoints don't rely on the supreme law of the Constitution or God's law. They rely kind of on this fuzzy idea that, well, It's a great compromise, and it's all a relative discussion, and it's, well, we're doing the best we can, and, well, I had to go along with this because of that. And I'll give you a great example of this. One of my favorite lawmakers in modern times was Representative Ron Paul. I think Ron did a great job. He was there for years. He didn't cave for the most part. He stood up for what was right. They considered him Dr. No. He didn't have any friends in Congress. He was no friend of Washington, they would claim. But he really did a great job and stood on principle almost all the time. But right before he got out of office, for instance, a friend of mine named Richard Mack was running in Texas against a very well-known liberal Republican entrenched incumbent. And we tried to get Ron Paul to support Richard Mack. And Ron and Richard are friends. They've spoke on the same stages many times. They've been friends. They know each other. And Ron would not endorse Richard Mack, and we were like, what the heck is going on with that? Well, we finally got the answer. Ron Paul was forced to admit that in an effort to accomplish task A, B, C, and D, which were all great agenda items that we believed in and supported, but to do that, he had to agree.
Yeah.
He had to agree to back all incumbents in the state of Texas for that election cycle, and he did it, and he shouldn't have done it, but he did, and well, there you go. And
well,
so we couldn't understand
the end of his career.
We couldn't understand on the surface why he would ever do such a thing. But he did, and that's the reason that he couldn't back Richard Mack. He was bound by an agreement behind the scenes that nobody knew about. And this is the stuff we're talking about, Heather.
It is. And it's just frustrating it has to be that way. And it doesn't have to be that way, because if enough people stand on principle, our voices will be heard. And I think that's something that's really frustrating to many of the liberty legislators. The establishment, it's literally tightly controlled what gets heard, what doesn't get heard, what makes it through, what passes and what doesn't. It's completely what I call an orchestrated circus in Boise. And what happens is our bills are never allowed to be heard, not even heard, not even presented. They're put in committee chairman desk drawers by orders by leadership. And that's unfortunate, because we're always hearing the left side. We're always getting to hear their bills and their ideas. But if we never hear the far right side, then the compromise, the whole society starts to shift left, because our voices are being suppressed on the right. And that's what I see happening in Idaho politics.
All right, from a citizen point of view, though, you know, I can be easily convinced that it's a lost cause and there's nothing that I can do. That's a mistake, too.
Oh, huge mistake. Because I don't know how many times I can say it, but all power is in the people. And as soon as you recognize that and really believe that, and you don't have to do much, when you just start wielding a little bit of the power you have, it's amazing. you make a couple phone calls or you write a letter or you show up at a meeting, it's amazing. I've seen agendas completely change because three or four citizens showed up at a meeting. You have to realize in your head that all power resides in us as long as you exercise that power. But if you don't exercise it, someone else is going to tell you they have it, and they're going to start acting like it. And that's what happens in politics.
The problem is the attacks don't just happen to legislators either. Citizens get involved, and before you know it, the citizen and or the group gets attacked relentlessly as well.
I know, but we have to stand firm. I mean, we're not told this life's going to be easy. You know, we have to be the salt and light. We have to hold the line. I can't tell you the people that call me with problems, they want me to fix, but they want me to call, but they don't want me to mention their name because they're afraid of retributions. And I think, why are citizens so afraid of government? Why are citizens so afraid of bureaucrats, unelected bureaucrats? But they are. And it's just because enough of us are not standing.
That's part of it. Oftentimes, though, good people have done good things and paid so dearly they don't want to do it again. I'll give you an example. I was attacked by the IRS, the FCC, and the USDA, all three at the same time, and they literally stripped me into almost a homeless person. They literally almost made me lose my radio station at the time. They literally had my family, me and my wife and a bunch of kids, being forced to live in an apartment. Long story short, though, you know what? It takes a lot of moxie to go through those things and come back and say, you know what? All they've done is made me stand against unconstitutional government for life is all they've accomplished with me. But very few people are really that way, though. Most people are like, hey, that wasn't fun. I don't want any part of that. I paid my dues. I'm not doing it again, because there is not enough people. There's not enough money. There's not enough effort. There's not enough organization. And let me give you another quick example. A friend of mine just went to court over like a traffic ticket or whatever. And he went into the judge, and the judge said, hey, you know what? We're going to try you for this, and you're guilty. And my friend said, I want a jury of my peers. And the judge said, you don't get a jury of your peers. This is just an infraction. And my friend said, I don't care. The Constitution doesn't define infractions. Either way, you're claiming that I violated the law. And according to the Constitution and due process, I get a jury of my peers. The judge literally said, I'm not going to argue this. You keep it up and you're going to jail. I'm setting the next court date for you, and it's going to be a bench trial and no trial of peers for you. Let's talk about that. Heather Scott, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So the question is, do you have a right to trial by jury in a traffic court? This guy's saying constitutionally the answer is absolutely. The judge says, I'm not going to argue with you about this. I'm going to be the judge. You're going to have a bench trial, which means the judge just decides you're guilty. And if you keep arguing with me about this, you're going to jail, my friend. And that's where my friend's case is right now.
And our courts are out of control. We have allowed it to go so far. I don't even know how to deal with the court. I'm in the legislative, but you're right. I hear story after story from our courts. And if you've ever heard Chris Ann Hall, she says in times of tyranny, it's the courts that go first. And I think we're seeing that.
Because you got to debate what a criminal thing is. So they say this isn't criminal. This is just an infraction. What really it means is we're just going to simply hand out these infraction penalties like candy and you don't get a trial.
They're doing it all over, not just in your state.
And so that's why the, people feel like they don't have any power and feel like they can't do anything, because every time they're shut down, I had to basically work out a solution with the IRS. I had to work out a solution with the Federal Communications Commission, and I had to work out a solution with the USDA all at the same time.
And you're right. It just gets frustrating, and you think it's not worth the fight. But you know what? It is worth the fight. I think of my grandfather, World War II veteran. I'm sure he was over in the Battle of the Bulge. I'm sure at times he thought, this is not worth the fight. But it is worth the fight. It just is worth
it. I think it's beyond debate about it being worth the fight. Oftentimes the question is, how is best to fight, though? So what should my friend do now? If he goes to court and argues, they're just going to throw him in jail. If he goes to court and accepts it, he's just going to be forced to pay, and they win, and he's shut down. So he's looking at alternatives. You know, maybe we have a rally outside of the judge's house. Who knows what we do next? But the problem is, where do you go?
Well, I think you bring light to it is the first thing. You have to use it. And I think the other thing that we always forget and we always go to last is we have a secret weapon. We have an all-powerful, almighty God who is in complete control, who may allow things for certain reasons we don't understand, but he'll use it for his glory. And we need to sometimes realize that maybe what we're going through is for a bigger reason. And pray, like you talked to your listener in the beginning of this, you pray to him to show us exactly what to do and how to navigate. And that's how you're going to get through it. That's how your friend's going to get through this. That's how the Bundys, I think, are getting through what they're going through, or are all our political prisoners.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me. We've tried to get a hold of Donald Trump with regards to the Freedom Coalition's trying to put together pardons for people, and we're trying to set up a presidential commission to look into a lot of these abusive cases. The judges are out of control on this. Roger Stone, Judge Napolitano, all kinds of people that have access to Donald have agreed with us and helped us with this cause. But Donald does nothing. Now, I try to get a hold of Donald Trump. I've written an open letter to the President Trump. I've interviewed both of his sons in the past. I can't get a hold of Donald Trump for the life of me to work on this Freedom Coalition or this desire to help innocents in prison. However, an 11-year-old boy writes a letter to Donald and says, I want to mow the White House lawn. And pretty soon, Donald and this little kid's hanging out at the Rose Gardens together. I mean, it's just amazing what's happening. And so it's very tough. In this case, we feel disenfranchised about this. The difference is we're not going to give up.
No, we can't give up. We just can't. We have to continue. We also have to show up at all these little meetings, all these city council meetings, school board meetings, fire commission meetings, all this government that we're getting, we are allowing it by not being engaged in it. We're allowing it. We've allowed it to get this bad because we've been complacent. We haven't held them accountable. No one's holding the legislators in Idaho accountable for breaking the Constitution with this same-sex marriage issue. So we can't expect it to change overnight because it's not going to, but we can't stop fighting because we're too tired.
And what we can't do is be afraid, because what you got to understand is that I might be afraid today, but my children and my grandchildren are going to be 10 times as afraid if this keeps up.
Mm-hmm. There are so many tools. we don't use our freedom of information requests enough. Everything that our government does is public record. Even the court systems, maybe not the names in that, but some of that stuff has to be turned over. And it's really simple to send an email out requesting information. And I'm telling you, the left does it on the Liberty legislators. The right needs to be doing it against the other legislators and our judicial system and our bureaucrats. It's amazing how much information you can glean from a couple records requests.
Believe it or not, we tried to do that in a city here that I work on, and they literally started to try to basically declare us paper terrorists.
Yeah, we get that too up north here, but that's all right. You have the power. Just don't be bullied when they call you names. I'm called 2 weeks ago. I was all over the paper and the radio. I'm a white. I'm defending white nationalism and white supremacy. I mean, they just make up lies. You just can't let it get to you. You just need to focus on where you need to go. And we all know where that is. It's liberty and freedom and constitutional principles for all. And sharing the love of Christ.
It's transparency. It's accountability. It's honor. It's integrity. So how many Liberty legislators are in Idaho, and are your efforts paying off? One of the things I talk to Matt Shea in Washington quite often, and he says, you know what, we've got a long road to hoe, and it's certainly a rough environment, but we're making a big difference, and we're actually not only just playing defense, but we're actually on the offense. And I think he's right, and I think more and more of us are starting to create coalitions that accomplish that.
We are making huge success. Just briefly, you know, I said we started with two. Last year, we had 7 vocal legislators, Liberty legislators, that were testifying on the House floor for the citizens. They were speaking up against unconstitutional actions of the body. At the end of session, we had 24 legislators show up for a freedom meeting, or what they, I forget what they called it, a caucus, a Liberty caucus, which was kind of okay. We didn't know how many people were really into it. We had, I think, 34 legislators sign on against an unconstitutional veto this summer when our governor vetoed our grocery tax repeal. And then recently on this political prisoner issue, I think we're up to 40-some signatures in Idaho against this political prisoner, this third trial. This is success, in my opinion. This is huge success. It's not the end all. But we are making success, and I think when you get to a magic number, that's why I think we're feeling the attacks so much now, because leadership knows and the establishment knows we're getting close to that tipping point where some of the waffly people, they'll come to our side because they just follow whichever way the wind goes, and we're almost there. And I think they see that when you have 24 Republicans show up at a Liberty caucus meeting, that's pretty big.
Not only is it pretty big, but it's for the most part unprecedented, right?
Well, absolutely. That's why I think we're seeing attacks like I've never seen before. I mean, and they're complete setups. So I had see if I can dig it up here, but I had a question from a reporter the other day, and here I'm going to read you his question right here. He said, "I have one last question. The conservative movement you champion is often described as white Christians. Would you feel comfortable having a non-white or non-Christian person in the group? For instance, would a conservative Muslim be welcome in the Liberty Caucus? Or are their basic values too different to line up with what you believe?" I mean, these are the kinds of setups we get.
And my response is, it's easy. If they obey the supreme law of the land and follow the constitutional principles that made America great, they're welcome. And if they don't, we're going to have a problem with them. It's that simple.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just saying that there's an agenda, and they will double down because they want to suppress our voice, the voice of freedom, liberty, constitutional principles, and Christian Judeo-Christian values. They're trying to suppress us.
Well, what they're trying to do is they're really exploiting every fault line possible: male, female, liberal, conservative, gay, straight, black, white, you know, Republican, Democrat, whatever fault line they can find, because they know that's where their success is, right?
And they want to divide the conservatives. They definitely want to divide. That's why we can unite on principles. We won't agree on every issue, but we need to unite on principles, constitutional principles, Christian values. That's what we need to unite on and just not be divided because they're doing a good job of it.
Now, if we had a good media, though, we could really bust this thing wide open. I'm convinced that's one of the great keys. They partner in their secrecy with media that protects them. And if we had a media that demanded accountability, things would change on a dime.
Absolutely. But we can create our own media. We don't need mainstream media anymore, not in this day and age. We do not need them. And we can continue to pray for heart changes in those people. But I say we create our own media. Look at your station. Look at all the listeners you have. You don't need mainstream media.
No, in fact, we're taking on mainstream media like never before. The new media is taking center stage, that's for sure. And that's why I bring it up, because I feel like I'm not a legislator like you are. But you know what? We can be partners in telling the tale of liberty and exposing the corruption and creating transparency and accountability and working on promoting God, family, and country and protecting life, liberty, and property. And we can all double down on this goal. And I submit, even though we don't have the money they have, we don't need the money they have to be successful. We don't need the number of people they have to be successful. I remember, biblically speaking, God whittled down his army less and less and less and less, and the leaders were going, what on earth is going on here? If we have God on our side, we don't need the masses, the money. All we need to do is be correct on the principles and stand together in solidarity for liberty. And that's what people are doing.
Let him lead. Let him lead us.
Amen. That's what people are doing right now. And I think it's delightful to watch. I think you don't hear about many of the successes because, again, the media doesn't cover the successes. We're going to give you a forum to make sure that your successes are well known. The swamp is getting drained in Idaho. It's a road to hoe for sure, but Heather and others are working on it, and we support them in every way possible. Final word's yours, Heather.
Just don't give up. Just don't give up. Be the salt and light that God's called us all to be, and don't give up. We will win when we consistently speak the truth.
Godspeed. Thank you, ma'am. Keep it up.
Thank you. Bye.
Heather Scott doing a great job as always, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, it just takes a few of us to stand tall together. LibertyRoundTable.com, our website. Tell all your friends. Spread the word. The radio broadcast is free. If you want to help grow the cause, everything you can do would be most helpful, including financial support. LibertyRoundTable.com. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. The only question left is, will you help? This nation shall endure.